Father, we thank you that we can just trust that you will be here with us this morning. Father, we know that you say we two or more are gathered in your name, you will be there also. And Father, thank you that we can embrace a brother, that we know that he's going to impart into our lives. And Father, that you will today speak through him, Father God, to us. Bless him and his family, and Father, even the time that he's given up to be here with us, Father, bless his family for that. And I pray that even, Father God, the things that he still needs to do, that you will help him to get to do everything, Father God. And we pray that today you will bless him, Father God, for just the amazing things that you've done through his life here in London, in this church. And Father, we want to bless him. And Father, we want to bring him before you today. And we want to say thank you for the gift that you've given through him to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Are you recording this? Oh, so I have to use the mic. Okay. It is great to be here. It's always nice to come down. It is literally a home away from home. All my children was born here. And my eldest, Danielle, we left when she was 3 years old. And her greatest desire is to come back to London. In South Africa, we have summer year-round. With now and then we have rain, like you have sunshine here. We have rain every now and then. And whenever it does rain, my eldest, she's 10 now, would go out into the rain. And she would stand there and says, "Oh, I love this rain. It makes me think of London." I want to go back to London now. Now, most people say the weather is very difficult in the UK, but my daughter loves it. So next year I'll be bringing her along. But thanks, David. Thanks, Hercules. It's nice to be here. I want to share something that has just been on my heart for so long. As I've been reading, I've just been studying again Jesus' parables, his teachings. And I want to share on something that is a mystery. It's a mystery, and so many people find it hard to understand because it's a profound mystery, and yet it is so simple that children can grasp it. And many of us enter into it through faith in Christ, and still we sometimes seem to miss the power and significance of it. And it's really, one scripture that speaks about the many, but one that I want to share this morning around this concept, this mystery that is profound yet so simple, and we enter into it so easily because it is through faith by grace that we are saved. And then we enter into the kingdom of God. And as I've been studying the scriptures, I've realized most of Jesus' parables, most of his teachings, was centered around this concept of the kingdom of God. Now, what is this kingdom? And what makes it so profound? I want us just to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Sorry, I left my slides at the flat. But you all have Bibles, I'm sure. If you have a phone, you can also go on that. Matthew chapter 13. So I want us to read this together. It's a very well-known portion of Scripture. It's a parable. It's one of Jesus' parables. It's actually a parable in the context of many other parables. Jesus started to teach in parables, and he started off, of course, with the parable of the sower that we all know so well. Profound parable. Jesus also giving the explanation of that parable. And then he continues, and then in the middle of all this, he continues on this concept, because he starts off with this parable of the sower with these words. And I love how Jesus teaches. And you will find most of the parable starts off with this phrase. It's simply this: the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And I love studying the word. And this morning I trust that we would start to think about the kingdom of God like. Whether it's the parable of the sower or the tares or this one specifically. In Matthew 13 verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had to bought it. I mean, who have you ever thought of the kingdom of God like this? I mean, who have you understand the kingdom of God like this? The kingdom of God is like a treasure that is more valuable than anything in life. And that if it's found, men will be willing to sell everything, give everything they have to gain it. I wonder if you've ever thought of the kingdom like this. For many years I didn't. And then God started to speak to me about this concept of the kingdom. And I wonder if we truly understand the kingdom like this. And the reason why I ask this is Jesus' first parable that he spoke about the kingdom, he said the kingdom of God is like a sower that went to sow some seed. The parable of the sower. And we know that so well. We know there was four types of ground. And we know that the seed that was sown, Jesus gives the explanation, so we know exactly what Jesus meant. And he said that the seed that was sown was the word of God. Am I correct? You must correct me if I'm wrong. That's a trick question. And then we find the first soil, the first type of person that is exposed to this treasure, to this kingdom, is someone that does not understand it. They don't understand it. And because they don't understand it, the devil comes and snatches it from them. In other words, they never enter into it because they don't understand it. And then there's, of course, the other two, that's the seed that's on the wayside and among the thorns and among the weeds. I mean, the wayside is the one that don't understand it. And then there are those who fell among the wheat and those among the thorns. And we see that it is those who receive this kingdom with great joy. They receive it with great joy, yet they don't last. They germinate, the seed germinate, it actually grows, but it doesn't come to maturity. It doesn't come to a place where it actually bears fruit. So it's not like the first one that don't understand. It is somebody that actually receives this kingdom with great joy, and it germinates the seed, this message of the kingdom. It germinates, it grows, but yet it doesn't bear fruit. And then the last one is those who hear the word of the kingdom and understands it. And it produces a harvest. 160 and 30-fold. It's this thing about understanding the kingdom that seems to make the difference. The first didn't understand it and bear no fruit. It didn't even germinate. The others received it. But it's interesting, it was the persecution of this world. It was the lure of riches. When persecution came and the temptation to pursue other things, that this message of the kingdom didn't produce fruit in them. And then this last one, those who understand, so interesting, those who understand it. And not only did they understand it, but it actually produced fruit in their life. And that's why I'm asking this question, who of you understand the kingdom like a precious treasure? Because if you don't understand it, it will not bear fruit in your life. If you don't understand this portion of scripture, let's rephrase that. If you don't understand this parable about the kingdom is like a treasure, if you don't understand it, that parable will not bear fruit in your life. But if you understand it, it will produce in your life. So it's this concept of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. Now, I got stuck with this first phrase, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Now, what is this kingdom that is so valuable that men will be willing to sell everything, give everything for it? It's not so much the selling of anything as much as it is the value of it. That this becomes the most valuable thing, that you're willing to sacrifice anything to gain it. What is so precious about it? The kingdom of God. And then I was reminded of Jesus' first sermon. Not so long ago, I was in Malawi. And what I love about Malawi is the fact that you can preach for hours. As a matter of fact, they expect you to preach for hours. Now, Jesus' first parable was not to Africans, because it was very short. It was so short, it must have been to Europeans. It was actually just a sentence. I don't know if you remember Jesus' first sermon. It was a simple message. It was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Exactly the same as John the Baptist. We all know John the Baptist's sermon. But many of us fail to remember, but that was Jesus' first sermon. Exactly the same. Jesus, the Son of God, when he started his ministry, started with this sermon. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. What is this kingdom? It's very interesting. Jesus says you must understand that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But in order to enter into it, you need to do something. The word is repent. Now, in Greek, it literally means you must change the way you think. You must change your mind. You must change the way you think. You must change your mind, and that change will produce in a different lifestyle. But I just want us to stop on this concept, because this is what I really believe God wants me to share with us here this morning. Is God is saying the kingdom of God is at hand, but you need to change the way you think. The kingdom has come near to you, but you need to change the way you think. Now, why is this? Why do we need to change the way we think when we approach the kingdom of God, or when the kingdom of God comes to us? Well, Jesus said the kingdom of God has come near. Why? Because he was there. He is the king. So because the king is here, the kingdom has come near. Now, I want us just to stop here again for a moment. What is so significant about a kingdom? Well, the kingdom, first of all, is not a democracy. It doesn't have a prime minister. It doesn't have a president. It has a king. A king is not elected. You can't change the king. If you don't like his policies, if you don't like his rules, if you don't like his principles, you can't vote for another. It's the first thing about the kingdom. We need to change the way we think about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is Jesus Christ. But we don't have the luxury, if we don't like his principles and policies, to change it or to vote for another. A kingdom is a monarchy. We don't have the privilege to change the king. The only choice that we have in a kingdom is whether we're going to be part of it or not. It's the only choice we have. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near to you because the king is here. But you need to change the way you think about kingdom. It's not a democracy. It's not something that we can change because we don't like the policies and the teachings of the king. It's the first thing. The second thing about a kingdom is a kingdom has territory. Now, the territory of a kingdom extends as far as the authority and influence of the king. It's very simple. Where the authority and influence of the king ends, there another kingdom begins. So obvious. But God is saying, you've got to change the way you think. You've got to change your mind about this kingdom that I've come to establish. The kingdom's border extends only as far as the influence and authority of the king. If you don't follow the king, if you don't follow his rules and regulations and principles, if you don't follow him as your Lord, then you're not in his kingdom. Because there are only two kingdoms in this world. There might be 196 countries, depending on whether you see Taiwan as a country or not, then it might be 195. But there are only two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom border is determined by the influence and authority of the king. And where it ends is a border. And at that border, there's conflict. There's only two kingdoms. There is not no man's land in the spiritual reality of eternity. It's either the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And where those borders meet, there's war. There's war over the influence and authority that you submit to. Who do you submit to? Whose authority, whose rule do you submit to? Because there's a war going on over your soul. Jesus said something powerful. He said, you cannot serve two masters. You will either love the one and hate the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. So who do you follow? Jesus said, the kingdom has come near to you, but you must change the way you think. Let's change the way you think about this kingdom. A third thing about the kingdom that's powerful is the fact that the kingdom has citizens. And you are the citizen of the kingdom whose king you follow. If you don't follow this king, you're not in the kingdom and you're not a citizen. Now, Jesus says, you must change the way you think. Charlotte said earlier during the offering, there's so many of our own ideas and thoughts that we hold on to. Well, I believe God is telling us this morning, you must change the way you think about the kingdom. Your ideas, your thoughts that you hold on to what it is, you must change the way you think. And think like I do, because it's a kingdom. It's God's citizens. You know what? There's only two kingdoms, like I said earlier. We had no choice as to which kingdom we were born into. We were born into the kingdom of darkness. It's like I'm a South African. I was born in South Africa. I had no choice. I mean, as I come out, I was like, ta-da, you are a South African. As a matter of fact, when I came out, they said, cannon fodder. Because we were at war at the time. It was in the 70s, before your time, don't worry. But we do have a choice whether we can enter the kingdom of God or not. Think about this. You were born in sin. You had no choice. But you have a choice whether you're going to leave this kingdom of darkness. Jesus says, the kingdom has come near to you, but you've got to change the way you think. You've got to let go of your ideas and thoughts to come into this kingdom. We maybe did not have a choice as to which kingdom we were born into, but we have a choice whether we're going to join this kingdom. But you need to change the way you think. It's not just something that we gradually evolve into. No, it's a choice you make. You choose to follow a king. As a king. Realizing that there is a war going on. Over the influence and authority of this king. Who are you following? Under whose authority, under whose influence are you living your life? Is it the world's? Is it Bill Gates, Bill Johnson? Well, you know, who are you following? Gotta change the way you think. It's interesting. This week I was just talking to my wife, there's a person that wanted to borrow. There was a financial difficulty. Wealthy people. The person did contract work overseas, and then when the recession started, his contract was expired, and they didn't re-employ, and they lived off their savings for 6 or 8 months, and then they ran out, and then they had to find a new house, and they were desperate looking for a deposit for a new house. They came to the church because they were members, and the church at the time, we didn't have money to help him. But I had some savings. So I lent him, I loaned him, all my money that I had saved to help him, with an understanding, as he promised, that he will pay it back in a month or two. Well, after 2 years, he has not communicated once about this loan. On 3 occasions, I had to approach him to say, you know, how are you doing financially? Are you settled now? Is it possible for you to pay back the loan? No, it's still difficult. I can't yet, but as soon as you can. And then there was a second occasion. It's very difficult for me. go to the same person and say, how's it going? You know, it's December, it's Christmas time. All my savings. No. As soon as I can. And then on a third occasion, I went to him and I thought, you know what? And in the meantime, he moved on to another church, probably because he was too embarrassed. I thought, you know what? Just out of principle, I must help this person as a Christian that at least communicate. You know, if you just communicated to me out of your own accord that you cannot pay, or at least if you decide you're just going to give £10 a month, just something small. So I need to help this person that as a Christian, when he ever comes in a position like this, that he doesn't treat other people the way I'm treated. And I had this conversation with him. And then as I was driving with my wife, we were talking about this. And my wife said, you know what, my love? Jesus said that if we borrow money to people, we shouldn't expect anything back. And I'm saying, yes, but I'm not asking interest. I'm not expecting anything back. She said, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus said. I said, no, I'm sure it meant not interest. Because I'm not expecting any interest. I'm just, you know, I just want him to do what is right. And she said, no, that's not what Jesus said. And I went back to the Bible. And I went to read here in Luke 6, verse 43. It says, Jesus speaking, it says, if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Who do you follow? Whose influence is the greatest in your life? And right there I realized, Jesus, you're so different. And right there I had to decide. I decide, what am I going to do? This is a lot of money. The guy made promises and he needs to keep it. And then Jesus says, no, let it go. Let it go. As a matter of fact, not just this time, I want you to let it go every single time. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near to you, but you've got to change the way you think. You've got to change the way you think. Because this kingdom, it's different to the one that you came from. It's different to the one you were born in. It's completely different. But you need to change the way you think. I want to declare to you this morning with the same boldness that John the Baptist and I guess even Jesus did when he declared that the kingdom of God is at hand, when he said, repent, change the way you think because the kingdom of God has come near to you. I want to declare to you that the kingdom of God is here. You know why? Because the king is here. I think David said that. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is with us. So I want to declare to you this morning a very simple message. The kingdom of God is here, because the king is here. But we need to change the way we think. It was amazing to hear your testimonies about evangelism. You know, this kingdom is at war. You know how this kingdom grows? The kingdom of light, the kingdom of God? It grows through one way only. This is how you measure it. It is souls being saved. It's when people are plucked from the one kingdom into the other kingdom. This is how the kingdom advances. This is it. Jesus said, my kingdom is here. Jesus, you know what? We were born enemies of God. We were born in the kingdom of God, in darkness. And God loved us so much, despite that, that he sent his son behind enemy lines to establish the kingdom, to put up the flag when he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. It's drawn near to you because I, the king, am here. And then he said these powerful words later on when he asked these disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter said, but you are the Son of God. You know, you remember that story? And they said, yeah, some say you're a prophet, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're John the Baptist. And then Jesus said, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, but you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And on this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because I've come to establish it, and it's going to grow. And the gates is the most fortified position in a city. I have a military background. I'm fascinated by strategy and tactics. But in the old days, fortified cities, castles, you always find the most fortified position in a castle is the gates. You have the strongest towers, the most defensive there, because everybody tries to go through the gate. But it's the most well-defended, strongest structure in a fortified city. And Jesus says something about his church. He said, my church will advance against hell. Because you can't advance defensive with a defensive strategy. You can't attack with a castle. God is saying, my church will advance against hell, and the strongest position will not stand. This is the kingdom. I want to commend you for doing that. Because it's the kingdom. It's the kingdom. It starts so small. Jesus said another parable. He says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. I brought some. He said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It is the smallest of all the seeds in the garden. He said, the kingdom of God is like, think about that, it's like a mustard seed. It is the smallest seed, the most insignificant seed in the garden, as simple as going to a queue of a tennis event. Insignificant, small it starts. But as it's sown, it grows. And it becomes the largest plant in the garden, and many birds find safety in its shade. It starts so small, so insignificant, but it grows. I want to commend you, Jackie and Elizabeth, for going. Insignificant. Something so small. But when it germinates and grows, it becomes one of the greatest. I want to encourage you to change the way you think about this kingdom. Is it truly the most precious thing in your life? Is this the most valued thing in your life? Because if it is, everything that has to do with it is a privilege and a joy. It's not a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It's not trying to earn anything. It is because I value this kingdom so much, because this is so precious to me, I'm willing to give my life for it. I'm willing to serve in it. I'm willing to live for it. I'm willing to conform to it. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Because this is so precious to me. This is so valuable to me. I'm willing to pursue this with everything. It's the kingdom of God. If you don't know where to start, you know what? Don't worry. Can be as small as a mustard seed. It might be you just changing the way you think about the king. Or maybe it's about your citizenship. Or maybe it's about the territory. I want to encourage you this morning. It starts with a mustard seed. Small and insignificant. But it grows. You might think you are small and insignificant. You might think the church is small and insignificant. Well, God doesn't. But you need to change the way you think. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have come to give us life. And that life is in your Son. And Lord, we want to thank you that you have come to give us an opportunity, even though we had no choice to which kingdom we belong. You made it possible for us to choose, not through works, not through earning it, not through ethnicity or royalty, but simply a choice in faith to accept you as king. We can change our allegiance and not just become citizens, but children of the Most High, adopted into your family. God, I pray that we will start to think differently about this kingdom. And as we choose to do so, that Holy Spirit, you will teach us more about this kingdom. Lord, may it become a treasure in our hearts that is more valuable than anything. God, your word says, where your treasure is, that your heart will also be. Lord, I pray that our treasure will not be found in this world, but in your kingdom. So this morning, God, I pray that you will help us to hear your words. And I'm just going to ask you, while all eyes are closed, that you just take a moment. And just in your own heart, in your own words, just quietly respond to God's word. Not my word, but God's word this morning. Forget what I have said, just hear the words of Jesus. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is like treasure that the man found and with great joy hid it and sold everything that he possessed to buy that land so that he can have the treasure. Let us just respond to God in our own words. Holy Spirit, I pray for a change of mind. A change of mind about your kingdom. Lord God, I pray not just for seed to be sown, but understanding. Understanding that would lead to fruit. Oh Lord, I pray for 160 and 30-fold in every life. Thank you. The moment we healed, the kingdom grows. And it will produce fruit in us. I pray for that fruit, Lord, that you may be glorified. Lord, I pray for fruit in us as individuals. Lord, I pray for fruit in us as a church. I pray for fruit in this congregation, Lord, that it will grow. It will grow. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know what was so interesting about Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower? It was a trick question in the beginning. The seed is not the word of God. The Jews had the word of God. If you read carefully Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower, he said the seed is the word of the kingdom. It is the word of the kingdom that was so difficult for them to understand. It is this kingdom that Jesus preached that was so difficult for them to grasp. And they couldn't get hold of this because this is not what they understood. It was not their thoughts of what the Messiah were meant to be, what this kingdom was meant to be. And it is the word of the kingdom that was so difficult for them to understand. And I want to pray for you, and that is my prayer, is that this kingdom will take root in your hearts and your lives because it produces life. It produces life. It doesn't make sense in this world. It doesn't make sense. You know what is so challenging about lending? I went on to search further. Oh, well, I didn't even search further. The moment I saw that, I remembered the Holy Spirit reminded me of another verse that Jesus, where Jesus said, if somebody asks you to borrow something from you, don't deny them. So not only is Jesus saying, when you do, don't expect anything back. I was thinking, yeah, okay, well, I'll then just be wise to whom I lend money next time. And then Jesus says, no. It's not always easy to follow him, is it? But we need to change the way we think. It's not about these principles in this world that we follow anymore. It doesn't make sense in this world, does it? It will never make sense in this world because we are no longer part of it. We are strangers and foreigners only moving through it. I want to encourage you. You know what happened? When I decided to follow Jesus, his teaching, you know what happened? That burden I was carrying about this outstanding debt and the injustice and the wrong way I am treated, and he will be treating others wrongly because he's treating me wrongly, and that whole thing that has been consuming me, how am I going to get the money back without offending him, and how can I encourage him to do the right thing? The moment I decided to let it go, because Jesus says, let it go. You know what happened? It's a weight off my shoulders. His peace came into my heart. And I am changed. It's amazing. Simple as that. As difficult as it was to make the decision, the moment I made the decision to follow Him and His ways, all of a sudden peace came into my heart. And a joy that is indescribable. It's an upside down kingdom. I want to encourage you, follow Him. But it starts with that change. I'm going to stop, otherwise I'm going to do an Africa on you. This kingdom leads to life, always. Amen. David, who do I give?
Thank you, Andres. God speaks to us even through mistakes. There was a typo earlier, I don't know if you noticed it, when we were singing, "Make everything I do," and Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment and said, "Make everything you do, every thought, every time you think, make it a hallelujah." And Holy Spirit told Andres to come and tell us to change the way we think. And God can speak to us even through the mistakes of others. And I think that's a specific word, that there's some of us here, a typo is a mistake, but God used the typo to speak. And people have made mistakes. If it's specifically to you, just come and receive prayer for that. People have made decisions which was a mistake that impacted upon you, but God desires to speak to you through that mistake. Andres, thank you for bringing God's word. If you want to respond to the word or to anything that we have done together in our praise and our worship, then please come to the front and you can receive prayer. Either receive prayer or you can pray and somebody can agree with you. If you know what it is that God needs you to pray or needs you to do, then you pray it and the facilitator can agree with you. And there's refreshments served in the back room. God bless your week. And Andres, until you come again, go well.